power hour. It's the what? Power hour.
It's the who?
Power hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power hour.
It's the what?
Power hour.
It's the who?
Power hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics.
Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crushed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like, how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line. The scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
The what?
Power hour.
It's the who?
Power hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power hour.
It's the what?
Power hour.
It's the who?
Power hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power hour.
It's the what?
Power hour.
It's the who?
Power hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power hour.
It's the what?
Power hour.
It's the who?
Power hour.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour. I am Captain Yashua.
Happy Sabbath. Shalom, Captain Aparian.
Shalom, Soldier Caleb.
Soldier Caleb in the house again. Soldier
in the Caleb. House.
Yes, sir, sir. It's a tall brother, though. How tall are you, Caleb?
6'1".
I laugh with tall brothers. Be like, you know, 6'1". Meanwhile,
I'm 6'1". I'm 5'4", over here. What the hell is this?
Oh, yeah. It's fine. I'm 6'1". Wish I was shorter.
He's like, I wish I was 6'5". I don't think I'm that tall.
Yeah.
Hey, so happy Sabbath to the 12 tribes scattered abroad.
Yes.
Greetings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to jump right in. We've been going over between the Wednesday slot and the Saturday show that we do here. Various forms of the slave trade. We started with the truth about Thanksgiving and the first Thanksgiving, and bringing some light to a oft not discussed aspect of slavery and all its different constructs. There's a lot of information out there as far as what's known as the transatlantic slave trade, but often enough, there's not enough in dealing with the so-called Indian slave trade, which really, I know we think Indian and we think Gad, we think Reuben, but very much so that includes all the indigenous on what would be deemed this side of the world. And let me tell you, the Bible is a true book when it says we were oppressed together. Let's get that real quick. Let's read that. Where it says Israel and Judah were oppressed together because it was literally at different points in time together, and then also with the same curses applied to both tribes. And no tribe is able to escape what the Most High had in store for his people, for us being reprobate, for us not keeping the commandments with gladness and joyfulness of heart. Go ahead, read that real quick.
This is the book of Jeremiah, chapter 50 and verse 33. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together.
Right, we were oppressed together. Hang on one second. Hey, they're saying the mic's a little. Did somebody play with the board? Give me a second, folks. The games are up.
We on YouTube too?
No, not today.
Only Wednesday, right?
Yeah, only Wednesday. We can't conflict with the other stuff. I don't know if it's something that you need to do in the booth, producer. The gain looks good on the board in here. Can you, did you make any adjustments? Can you guys hear us better now? Sounds a little louder to me. Let us know, brothers and sisters, if it sounds louder now. Better. Okay. All praises. All praises. All right. Thank you. Thank you for letting us know. Yeah, listen, whenever anything's like distorted or whatever, please, by all means, let us know. We're still working through a lot of this. We've expanded and invested in trying to get better quality and everything because of the fact that we're doing, the additional show during the week. So let us know, and we make sure we address it. All praises. All right, so let's go back to this scripture real quick, right? Come on.
This is the book of Jeremiah, chapter 50 and verse 33. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together.
We were oppressed together, all right? Meaning, literally, at some points in time, in captivity, side by side, working the same fields, working the same mines. All right. They don't history books do not speak about this enough. And when I say history books, obviously we know the most ultimate history book pertaining to our people is dealing with the scriptures. The scripture speaks about it extensively and most accurately about our different captivities and the types of curses that we'd be under. But because history is written by our oppressors, a lot of that stuff doesn't come to light as far as publicly, like what you're taught in school, what you see, should you be so inclined to research. Go ahead, read on.
And all that took them captives held them fast.
Notice it says captives. So it's talking about all the tribes. It says, and all that took them captives held them fast. And we were speaking about this on the Wednesday show, that holding fast was that they did not want to let us go. They did not want to let us go. He says we could take it down a little bit. Now it's too loud. We have our tertiary producer, so we'll have a little mercy on him. He's the number three producer, so he's still working on his fine tuning. So Othaniel just adjusted a little bit. They say the levels is too loud.
He said you want volume.
He said you want volume. I'll give you volume. is that it on that verse?
They refuse to let them go.
They refuse to let them go. And the reason they cannot let us go is, we were talking about on the Wednesday evening show, they cannot destroy us off the face of the earth. Damn it, they realize that, right? That the Most High says that they will be a remnant because of the promises that he made unto us. So even through all the destruction, all the different things, we're not going anywhere. So their remedy for that is that they have to divide us and they conquer us by keeping us asleep and away from keeping these commandments. Let's get Judith 5 on that. And then we'll jump in to some of the stuff we're going to review today historically. Start at 20, I think.
Okay. Book of Judith.
20 straight to the point here.
Chapter 5 and verse 20. Now, therefore, my Lord and Governor, if there be any error in this people.
He's talking about the Israelites here. And he says, if there be any error in this people, meaning error according to the Most High, right? Error is a matter of perspective, right? So you have to understand that he's speaking to the Israelites. And what's seen as error for us is doing things against what the Bible says, against what our Father, the Holy Father God, commands of us. Come on.
And they sin against their God.
See, he says, and they sin against their God. The heathen know that the God of the Bible is not their God. But part of their crafty counsel is to make themselves sit in that seat and appear as they are God. So they've taken our book, because what better way to do it than rather than introduce a different book, rather than introduce a different history, they say, let's take what's theirs and twist it, right? They did that with iconoclasm and destroying our images. And as you read, one of the themes that we've been going through with this Indian slave trade is that, and when we get in a little bit into the encomienda, we're not going to be able to deep dive into the encomienda today. Lord's will, on the Wednesday show, we'll spend a little more time on it. It was always protection and the benefit, right, in their minds, the benefit of Christianity. And that Christianity is their form of, it's kind of like, you can go and get pizza, right? Let's just say you're used to pizza a certain way, right? And then there's Moab does like their version, right? Or Issachar does their version. So they took the original thing and perverted it and twisted it so that we would basically be docile, be weakened and be put to sleep with that stuff. Right. So they understand this because they know that they can maintain the rule over us. It says they hold us fast and they won't let us go because of what we're reading in Judith now. Right. So read that from the top again. I'll let you go.
Okay. You know what else they did? The mere fact that they state that God and Christ came for everyone. Now that they lift, that diminishes our speciality.
Right.
That diminishes our unique.
Because then you're not peculiar.
And you're not peculiar. And then you see things going on with you and not realizing the curses, and you see the other nations prospering, and you're like, eh, God, God don't care. So I don't care about that Bible.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's that. You're absolutely right. So there's a lot, there's levels to the way that they've done this thing. Go ahead, read.
Judah chapter 5 and verse 20. Now therefore, my Lord and governor, if there be any error in this people, and they sin against their God, let us consider if this shall be their ruin.
It says they understood that that would be our ruin. If we sin against God and there's an error in us, that that would be our ruin. Come on.
And let us go up, and we shall overcome them.
And it says then we can go up, and then we can overcome them. This is through the captivities. So this is why an integral element of their slavery on us would allow them to get to the point where they could take off the chains, the iron, the brass, the implements of iron, like we read in the history books, to subdue us. They were able to take those things off because of permeating the error within us, that God would not be for us. Come on, read.
But if there be no iniquity in their nation.
Iniquity is sin. So he said, listen, if there's no iniquity in their nation, and best believe, nation doesn't mean you have to have the parcel of land, right? It's kind of like one of those Thor movies where he says, Asgard is a people before it is a place. So and notice he refers to the Israelites as a nation. Come on.
Let my Lord now pass by.
And it says, you better not mess with them. If they not in sin, it says you better pass by. You better walk on by. Come on.
Lest their Lord defend them and we become a reproach before all the world.
It says lest their Lord defend them and we become a reproach. What I think is often lost and when they say that is that they understand the prophecy concerning them as well. Because that is what's in store for them. They will become a reproach. It says people will narrowly look upon them and say, is this the man that made the nations tremble and shake? So when he's in those two verses, he's letting you know that he understands better than us the prophecy for the Israelites and the blacks and Hispanics,
you know what
Native Americans.
You know what else this is proof of? That the other nations understood that our God was never their God.
Hmm. Yeah.
When you read this Bible from the beginning, and I'm talking about from Genesis, he chose Adam and Eve, and then he had the other Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And when you continue in the history, this is why the Babylonians had to build that tower, because they said, let us make a name for ourselves, because they knew back then
that they didn't have a name,
that they didn't have a name for themselves, that they were basically peasants in the eyes of the Most High God, and that he had a chosen seed.
Yep. Yep. You're right. 100, right? That's what they say.
100.
That's 100. Keeping it 100, Cap. Keeping it 100. All right, let me try to pull up this article here. We're gonna talk about a couple of things here. Let me get over here and bring this out. Let's see here. And, you know, just a reminder, as I'm looking for this, you can catch us during the week. Wednesday evenings, every Wednesday, Lord's will, you know, barring any feast days and whatnot. That fall on that day. You catch us every Wednesday from 7 to 9 Arizona time. And that's 9 to 11 Eastern presently on the show. If you're tuning in for the first time and you want more information outside of what we bring out on the show, you can go to IsraelUnite.org. We have plenty of links to classes, High Holy Days, lots of great fundamental basics there that'll help you on your journey on reclaiming your identity and your heritage, all right? Okay, so let's bring up the one from Wiki about the Indian slave trade in the American Southeast. I want to talk about this a little bit, and then we'll kind of circle back on it on the Wednesday show. The Saturday show is condensed. The Wednesday show is the Power Hour Plus. We go 2 hours. Yeah, we do 1 hour. Just hit you with the lefts and rights real quick. Mm-hmm. So Indian slave trade in the American Southeast. So contrary to popular belief, there's even, you know, because Wiki, right? People are like, Wiki's not the best because it can be publicly whatever, but it wouldn't be what it is and the resource that it is for so long if it wasn't there.
It's still a little process that they fact check off.
Yeah. And they'll note it if it's not accurate information too. They'll say like this needs to be validated or verified. But I bring this out to let you know that sometimes the information is there. You would just never think to look for it. because what they keep you focused on is the All-Star games, who LeBron is extending his contract with, which celebrity is leaving their spouse, what drama is this, which president or political party or whatever it is you're going to – and that's just as bad as the information not being available because your mind's not even in a place where you would even seek it. So it's there. It's there. Like, and as I, because of the show, have been reading more and looking for more stuff, I'm finding more and more. It's kind of like I don't know if I want the one in, I think it's in Luke, where he talks about seek and you shall find, ask and you will
receive.
Well, it's in a couple of the Gospels. You know which one I'm talking about, Caleb?
No, I don't know.
Let me look it up.
We'll look it up.
Yeah, you could say something.
Yeah. So, let me read something here real quick. Because once you brothers and sisters recognize that we are God's chosen, we are his chosen seed, that we are special.
You can love him.
Never forget this. And I always tell new brothers and sisters when they come in, I've been doing it for years since I've been in this truth. I always give them this scripture. When they ask me, you know, what should I do? You know, how should I live? You know, any advice? You know, I go to Sirach chapter 2, and I tell them, read the whole chapter. Okay, because it's a short chapter, but it's a very powerful chapter. And in that chapter, it condenses, and not to diminish it, because this walk ain't easy. Trust me, you're going to have a lot of trials and tribulations. Make no mistake about it. And if you haven't yet, you will. And if you haven't, then check your genealogy. But point of fact is this. When you meditate on chapter 2, it explains to you everything that you're going to deal with. And you should never, ever think that the Most High God is turning his back on you. Okay, so do you chapter 2? Did you get what cap?
Yeah,
okay.
Just okay. Hold it and read where he was. No, okay, finish your point.
All right, so give me chapter 2, and we're just going to read the first three. But I've been meditating on chapter 2 for years. For as many years as I've been in this truth, I've been meditating on it. When things are getting rough and everything, I focus this, and I focus this. This is one of my counsels to all you brothers and sisters, and even seasoned brothers and sisters. I tell them, never lose track of Sirach chapter 2. Go ahead.
This is the book of Sirach, chapter 2, and verse 1. My son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation.
So he's letting you know right off the bat, this is the best advice I can give anyone or that you can get, okay, is if you're going to come in this truth and you're going to start on the road to repentance as an Israelite man and woman, you better recognize that you are going to need to prepare your soul for temptation. Because you have to understand something. Satan just lost one of his minions every time you repent. That's why the scripture says the angels are happy when one repents.
Right.
So he's going to do, you best believe, and the Most High is also going to try to prove you to make sure that you're for real. You best believe you're going to go through some things, right? And it explains why when you read the chapter before. That's not part of this class. I just want to never forget this. Chapter 2.
Set thy heart aright.
Set your mind aright, according to Mark 7:21. The heart is the mind. Go ahead.
And constantly.
And what?
Constantly.
And what?
Constantly.
And constantly.
Endure.
Endure. Go ahead.
And make not haste in the time of trouble.
Especially in these last days, you see things that are going on in the world. You leave this truth and you go back into the world. I'm going to put it very simple. You're an idiot. You're an idiot, and you are not that you can't come back and repent again, but you're an idiot, okay? Because things are too serious right now for this.
I'll say what the Bible says. You're a dog that's returned to his vomit.
Yeah, I try to be nice about that. Actually, that dog returned to the vomit is real messed up.
It's worse. You're right.
Let's finish it real quick. Let's finish.
Verse 3. Mm-hmm. Cleave unto him.
Cleave unto him. Don't depart from the Most High God. Cleave unto him. Cleave means attach yourself. That word is also used for husband and wife. Right. You're supposed to attach yourself to each other as one flesh. Go ahead.
And depart not away.
And depart not away. Go ahead.
That thou mayest be increased at thy last end.
Because at the end of the day, if you endure, the scripture says the dead in Christ shall rise first. You've got a reward, brothers and sisters. Don't play yourselves. Okay, this is too serious, man, this truth. This is our heritage, our true nationality, and the Most High God in Christ is only for us. He is our Savior, the Blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans. Okay, okay.
All praises. Before you go to Luke, get me James 1 and 5. So, we were talking about how the information is there. You just don't even know to look for it because of the number that's been done on our people. We're not seeking that type of knowledge. We're not seeking that type of information. So what you need to do is be able to ask the Most High to open up that understanding, and he'll start to show you stuff. Because I was saying that as I've been doing more reading for the show, and, you know, this is somebody who's been in, I don't know, I think I'm going on 13 years, like over a decade in the truth. And I'm still seeing more, and I'm seeing and learning new things and finding new resources that I didn't in the beginning. So it's something that you must constantly, we can never be full. The well of knowledge can never be full. And we need to be able to understand the process and how that is obtained. I'm not going to change this topic into something like that. We're going to jump into the articles after these scriptures. But I got to bring this out, right? So read James 1 and 5.
This is the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
Right, so if you lack wisdom, and guess what? All of us lack wisdom. Even those of us that may seem to have much of it, there is always more that can be attained. Because the most wise, they said, was Solomon, right? And none of us are on that level in the earth today. So that means all of us lack. It's not an insult to say that. It's actually an acknowledgement, and will open up the pathways for you to learn more.
It's humbleness.
You're not right. You don't know what you don't know. So you need to ask for more.
Right.
So it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Come on.
They give it to all men liberally.
God will give it liberally if you ask for it. Come on.
And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
But note this part, verse 6.
Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, not wavering.
Nothing wavering. Ask in faith with nothing wavering. Now, chiefly, this is wisdom of the Bible, right? That's our wisdom in the sight of the nations. This is what you must really seek to, not saying show me things in Esau's history, but it starts with this, and then it'll open up your eyes to see what's out there, right? And you'll be able to understand and connect the dots. But it says you must ask in faith, not wavering, believing that when you ask for it, that he's going to open up the understanding to you. Come on.
For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed.
Right. So it says you, if you're like that, you're like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So let's go to Luke 11. And let's start at 8. All right. Now, this parable is really about prayer. I was actually going to do a class about this today, but it would have been like too long. I was figuring out a way to like condense it and stuff. So I said I'm gonna hold back, and I'll see if the Spirit take me somewhere else to bring something else out. But as most parables, you can apply it to almost anything because it's still dealing with prayer in general, right? So come on.
This is the book of Luke, chapter 11, and verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed.
Right. So you have to read the whole parable to understand what's being said here. But the point is saying, just because you are an Israelite doesn't mean that God is just going to give you stuff. We have a contract with him, right? It has to be on his terms that stuff comes out. And it says, but understand this, not because he's our friend, but because of our importunity, will he rise and give him as many as he needeth. He'll give us as much wisdom. He'll give us as much knowledge. And I know importunity is not a common word, right? So I had to look it up myself when I was reading this. Let me get this advertisement out the way. And I'm just going to put it up real quick. Importune is to press or urge with troublesome persistence. It's basically to pester, right? Google has it as harass someone persistently for or to do something. So basically what this is really saying is that our prayer must be persistent. Our prayer must almost be harassment to the Most High. You know, like when you lend someone money and then you harassing them to get it back because they ain't in the right spirit to just make you whole for
like
what you did
like
for
a
them. Right, right. But we need to be like that in righteousness, right? So this is why I said I was going to do another kind of class touching on prayer with this, you can still use the same mindset when it comes to praying for wisdom, right? So we must pester the Most High for wisdom, because I use myself as an example, right? Captain Aparna's been in almost as maybe just a year less about as far as me, and it's something that we consistently have to keep in our mind, right? So it says, because of your importunity, God will give it to you. Come on, read.
Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Right, so this was the part that I was talking about. If you, it is there. You just need to ask for the Most High to open your eyes to find it. Ask and you shall give it. Seek, look for it, and you shall find it. It says knock and it shall be open to you. Come on.
Verse 10. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
But you got
to
knock. The point is, you got to knock.
Got to be proactive.
Yes, you cannot sit there
right.
and just think that, oh, the wisdom's mm-hmm. going to rain down on me, right? There's mm-hmm. things that we must do. There's things that we must do. Hey, you're right. That's part of the themes of the class I'm going to bring out, Brother Adam, is that he does want us to harass him to avenge us too,
right?
So, like I said, I was going over it, and then the precepts started flowing. I said, this is too much. I said, I got to save this for another time. Yeah, it was too much. I said, I got to save this for another time. I said, tomorrow's not the day for this. So I wound up preparing a
different
class.
He says it throughout the whole Bible, Cap.
Mm-hmm.
It's to seek him.
Right.
To seek him. Matter of fact, when you read Hosea, 5:15,
mm-hmm.
and the affliction, is that what it was? Mm-hmm. In the affliction, they shall seek me early.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to seek him. He's making us go through things so we can acknowledge that he's our Father.
Right. Right. So, you know, based on the amount of stuff I want to cover today and with the amount of time we got left for the show today, this is going to be more like a teaser
for
trailer
Wednesday.
For Wednesday. All right. For what Wednesday, where we'll have the full 2 hours to discuss
tune in.
Interview. So tune in Wednesday. I know, that was the setup.
A shameless plug?
That's the shameless plug. That's the setup. So it says, Native Americans living in the American Southeast were enslaved through warfare and purchased by European colonists throughout the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. So it wasn't like it was a 50-year window. You're talking about hundreds of years of captivity. And I'm dealing with just specifically Native Americans. In the article and stuff, that the essay that I brought out on Wednesday, we were talking about that when you say Indian, it's talking about all the native indigenous. So that deals with Mexico, South America, the Caribbean, all of that. Because they called us Indians, right? They say it's because of they were supposedly looking for the Indies. So the name stuck with us and they call us Indian.
That's such BS.
Yeah. So, it was very intentional. Indian basically amounts to being called a savage.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Were Arawak falling
in that? I know Arawak was what we called ourselves.
Okay.
So that was what we called ourselves in absence of remembering that we were Hebrews.
Okay.
So Arawak, Carib, those are things that we named ourselves.
Mayans. That's something that they gave us.
Mayans, I think, was theirs also. So was Aztecs, so was Inca.
Yeah.
That was stuff they called us.
Taino?
Taino was something they called us.
Well, Taino means buena gente, means good.
Right.
And the reason why they called us that, just real quick, Cap, is because I was the first thing when we saw Columbus, we said, Taino, like we thought they were good.
Right.
I got the books.
Like fair people, good people, or something like that. Yeah, actually, I think last Saturday we brought that out, and I brought out how you have the books for that say that.
Yeah.
So Taino was just a word in our dialect, and they thought that meant that we were identifying ourselves as that. And then it just kind of stuck, right? So it just kind of stuck. It says that through the 17th, 18th, and the 19th century, as well as held in captivity through Spanish organized forced labor systems. So that's going into the encomienda. So letting you know that even Gad and Reuben also came up against the conquistadors as well. And they were thrown in the mix to the Spanish organized forced labor systems. And that's what we'll probably spend a bulk of time on Wednesday's show going over, because we spoke about it on last Wednesday when we read the essay about that. So we're going to talk about the encomienda system. And, you know, there's still remnants of that in Central and South America to this day, the encomiendas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's still – it's not in the slavery the way it's set up now, but that there's – elements of it that have permeated till today.
That was in that movie, right?
Even the Rain?
Even the Rain?
Yes, so Even the Rain, right, yeah. Which, Lord's will, I want to do that. Or Issachar gave me one for movie night. They're subtitled, but we got to start watching some of that stuff so we can see that. Yeah, because Even the Rain, they were showing how even as late as the 90s, they were still trying to take their water rights and stuff like that. So, So it says emerging colonies in Virginia, Carolina, and later North and South Carolina and Georgia imported Native Americans and incorporated them into chattel slavery. So, right, chattel slavery is what's known as, it's usually ascribed to so-called African Americans.
Right.
But it's letting you know that Native Americans were incorporated into the chattel slavery. So when we read at the opening about being oppressed together, I told you that meant a couple things. That meant that literally we served captivity side by side, and it also meant we went through the same curses, right? Because I was banging out on Wednesday how for the gainsayers out there that say Deuteronomy 28:68 don't apply to us, that Hispanics and Natives never went into slavery on slave ships, we destroyed that. That thing should be up in flames after Wednesday
show. We were the first ones to go into slavery
show.
On ships.
Right.
Before Southern Kingdom.
Right. So it says their demand for slaves affected communities as far west as present-day Illinois and the Mississippi River and as far south as the Gulf Coast. The trade in enslaved Native Americans sent tens of thousands of them outside the region to New England and the Caribbean as a profitable export. So we were even in the Caribbean. And again, because at the end of Wednesday show, the brother was asking about, yeah, you know, should we be like, because of all the mixing with the conquistadors, should we feel a way that we might not be Israel? And we covered that. We told him your spirit bear witness. But then we also mentioned the Most High, even within the curse of slavery, it was designed for us to basically re-intermingle and increase the seed. Because remember, we brought out Hosea that he gave a miscarrying womb to those that had heathen in their wombs. Mm-hmm. And then he allowed through these patterns of our enslavement, the way we were imported and exported, for the tribes to come together again so that we can continue on. And I always bring this point out. Don't think that because Gad has been so decimated, because Reuben has been so decimated, that they are gone. They are not gone.
Far from it.
They are not gone. What this tells me is that and I always get on Judah, and I say, Judah, a lot of y'all got him moving, and this is true when you look at the history, right, of black Indians and all that stuff.
Right.
But in my research, I got to say, hey, some of us who think we're Puerto Rican, Dominican, Mexican, you just might be Gad. You just might be Reuben.
Well,
we very well might, right? You go by what the seed of your father is today, and then the rest of the genealogy is a fool's discussion like the Bible tells you,
and
right?
And that's okay.
And that's all right. And that's all right, right? If you're Israel, that's the most important part. Just you want to be Jacob, all right? You want to be of Jacob. So that's what really matters. So it says natives were sometimes used as labor on plantations or as servants to wealthy colonist families. And notice they said plantations. Natives served on plantations.
We went to Puerto Rico. We visited
plantations. Yes, yes. We saw a big one over
there. Big one, huge.
Yep. Natives were sometimes used as labor on plantations or as servants to wealthy colonist families. So Stephen from Django, you also had Esteban in the
right.
They called him Esteban instead of Stephen in the house. Esteban. Esteban. Like Abuela used to say Esteban. Other times they were used as interpreters for European traders. The policies on the treatment and slavery of Native Americans varied from colony to colony in the Southeast. The Native American slave trade in the Southeast relied on Native Americans trapping and selling other natives into slavery. So they basically wound up compelling them through pain of death. You know how, like, sometimes you'd be like, damn, you see movies and they're like, I don't want to do this to you, but you're my friend. They were like, yeah, but they got my family and I got to do this. These are the details that they tried to throw in there and say, we sold each other and we had slaves.
Man.
But it wasn't set up that way.
And that's not to say there wasn't no trifling Israelites during that time.
Right.
But that's not what this is talking about.
Yo, there were sellouts of our people too that were like that, had hatred for their own people and stuff.
Yeah.
It said this trade between the colonists and the Native Americans had a profound effect on the shaping and nature of slavery in the Southeast. A number of Native societies armed with European firearms oriented themselves around waging war to capture slaves from other Native peoples, selling them into slavery. The slave trade and warfare that facilitated drove many other Native societies to flee their homelands, breaking apart existing communities and eventually leading to a new map of peoples and ethnic groups in the region. And you know why they mention that and then leave a lot of context out? Is because it softens the atrocities that they did, or seemingly so, if you're asleep. You say, well, same way they say for Southern Kingdom, well, Africans sold Africans.
They love to say that. I've been hearing that since before I repented.
And notice it always comes out if you're complaining about slavery and the atrocities,
yep.
they use that as
yep.
a defensive mechanism.
Yeah, I had this one eat in my tongue. I don't know why. Well, why they get so upset? They, you know, I don't know why
yep.
they get so upset because they sold each other into
yes.
slavery. And unfortunately, I didn't know back then because I wasn't in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that part of the history. You know, and I just stayed shut. I was like, how am I going to defend this?
Right.
I got no proof.
Right.
You know.
Right. So they throw that in there. So notice they you see the same themes. They said the same thing about so-called African slaves, and now they're saying the same thing about so-called Native American slaves. And again, that's a tactic that they use.
Deceiving.
Yeah.
Hey, Kat, real quick, because you brought something out. Right? What tribe are you from?
Yeah.
So you see this brother right here.
Right,
right away, everybody would say, right, the general, oh, he's Judah.
Right.
He got to be an African American.
Right.
What tribe again?
Yeah.
Okay. So but back to your point, Cap. All right. We don't know.
No.
We don't know. We only
yep.
know what we know right now.
Yep.
But in that day, whatever gate we go through, then we'll know.
Yeah.
Let's just
Adam
go through
said,
a gate.
So we call our souls Boricua. Yeah, but Boricua is
it's
like broken Hebrew.
Yeah. Right.
It's like
right.
broken Hebrew. It's like
right.
it's like Hebrew mnemonics.
Right.
So we called our souls that Boricua and Borinquen. So that's what the whole of Puerto Rico was known as before they called it Puerto Rico, was Borinquen.
Right.
So this, just like Dominicans, it was Quisqueya.
Yep.
Quisqueyanos is what
yep.
they called themselves
exactly
as
right.
well. Yeah.
Cuba was always Cuba, because that's actually a Hebrew word that means fertile
yeah.
land,
mm-hmm.
from my research.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Cuba, they didn't call Cuba. They called it something else also. So structures of the trade. In many cases, the colonists would trade with Native Americans, giving them goods and weapons such as the flintlock musket in exchange for beaver pelt and the capturing of other natives to be sold into slavery. See how they throw that in there? One of the first groups to set up such agreements was the Westos, a Riker Creans.
Where are you?
Or Riker Creans, a structure of the trade.
Riker Creans, I guess.
Yeah. Who originally come from the north into Virginia and are said to be descendants of the Erie. After an attempt to end the agreement, the Savannah people filled the role previously held by the Westos, and eventually the role fell to the Yamasee and the Creek. The captured Native Americans were brought to the Carolina colony to be sold and were often then sold to the Caribbean, where they would be less likely to escape, or were sold to one of the other 13 colonies. This trade of slaves was not a very self-sustaining venture. Either the native population was being wiped out, and those who were not being killed or captured became the captors. And as the population of natives available for capture dwindled, then the captors began to fall into debt, and the colonists whom they were trading with. This debt and frustration that began the Yamasee War of 1715, which would ultimately be one of the factors that led to the demise of the trade system in the Carolinas. So it's talking about that. The part that they don't mention here was that the disease was still rampant among our people, and I've mentioned this a few times over the past few weeks. What wound up happening is that they did not fully appreciate the value of our people as slaves until they noticed the numbers dwindling. And this is what led to an increase, because African slaves were coming over
mm-hmm.
in the early voyages before it became a transatlantic slave trade. Because remember, it talks
right.
about Europe, remember the with Iberia and Spain and the Ladinos, so there was some captivity going on there, which was all tribes. They say African. What I'm meaning is the source of slavery. So when I say African, I'm not saying exclusively Southern Kingdom. Remember, Northern Kingdom remnant was in Africa as well. According to Luke, where he said flee to the mountains, it was some of us that went into Africa.
Yep.
So what it led to an increase in what ultimately became the transatlantic slave trade because of the decimation of the people here. During the slavery that we went into. So it says, European colonists in the colonies of Virginia, Carolina, and Georgia imported enslaved indigenous peoples as workers during the 17th and early 18th centuries. The Carolina colony became a major exporter of enslaved Native Americans to other colonies, including those of New England and the Caribbean. The southern colonies were known for their use of slavery to keep their large plantation economy running. It is usually assumed that all of the slaves were from Africa, but Native Americans were also frequently enslaved, and in some cases were used more than African slaves. So how about you take that and chew on it for a little bit?
Right.
People talk about we weren't in captivity like that. Listen, man.
There's people that flat out say Okay, the naysayers that the Native American Indians are not Israel at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're adamant.
Bro, I'm going to continue to beat this up for weeks. I'm not. It's been too many years of misinformation out there. I'm going to be going over this in all its forms for weeks. For weeks, all right? I have many more things to bring out about slavery over the coming weeks.
They're making me take it out again.
So I want to jump. We'll refer back to this a little bit of the way it was in certain states. I want to jump to the encomienda just briefly, and then I want to go over. So let me pull that.
Hey, remember, things are going to be written according to who's ruling right now. Okay. So for example, they make this seem atrocious, but kind of glorifying for the Caucasian man and woman, right? Because they captured. Who the hell were you to capture anybody anyway?
Right.
Who the hell were you to come over here and capture any of our forefathers?
Yeah. And hey, producer, while I'm reading on the encomienda, I want you to look up images of the Codex Kingsborough, because we're going to talk about that after I just briefly introduce the encomienda system. There's a few, and I want you to put, and you'll see them, and it'll be plain as day. I want you to pull up the burdens, the labor, the torture that was in this. I'm going to explain what the Codex Kingsborough is in a moment. So encomienda, the encomienda, Spanish labor system that rewarded conquerors with the labor of particular groups of conquered non-Christian people. The labor, notice they say non-Christian people. The only non-Christians in the world at that time were the Israelites, according to the standards.
CBS?
Yes. The laborers, in theory, were provided with benefits by the conquerors. Just the mere fact that conquerors in there.
It doesn't even make, this shouldn't even be in the same sentence.
No.
You don't get benefits if you're conquered.
No, they were benefits.
You lost your benefits.
You lost your benefits.
The hell out of here.
The laborers, in theory, were provided with benefits by the conquerors for whom they labored. It's slavery. The Catholic religion being a principal benefit.
Uh-huh.
So this is what we were talking about earlier, that it was always in the mix in there when we're reading Judith 5. They understand that if the Most High is with us, they cannot be stand against us.
Hey, hence why most Northern Kingdom are Catholics.
Right.
It's a result from this.
Yes, a lot of Northern Kingdom, the bulk of Northern Kingdom,
think
are
about that.
Catholic.
Yep.
And that stems from this. And that includes Gad. You go into Gadite reservations, and there are many Catholic churches, St. John's Indian Church,
wow.
St. This guy's Indian Church. I used to drive through the one of the Gila River ones when I used to work down in Maricopa City, and I would see three or four churches on my way down there, and they were all Catholic churches. So to me, I was just like, I just don't understand how there are any natives that would, but there are some. It goes to show you the depths of the simplicity of our people. So part of the encomienda system wasn't just the economics of it. The Catholic religion was a principal benefit. So this is another form. Encomiendas is crafty counsel. I've said it before. That's Psalms 83 when we say crafty counsel. We can go on and on and on of the different devices that they've used for that, right?
Yeah.
The many devices that fall under that. This is the encomienda was first established in Spain following the Christian conquest of Moorish territories, known to Christians as the Reconquista. That's a whole other thing that we can talk about as well historically. And that and we know they try to tell you the Moors were the Arabs. And that was a remnant of our people that went off into that stuff, but the Moors are Israelites. All right, they were Israelites, and they called them Moors. It means black.
Right, Moreno.
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 And part of the Renaissance, often we think of the Renaissance as just Rome, right, Italy, but part of the Renaissance was Spain coming back. Because at one time, the Moors, right, the Middle Ages, we got that one book. There's a lot of bones in it, but there's some stuff in that one. The Empire of the Israelites or something in the Middle Ages. You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, the Medieval Empire of the
Israelites. Right. They often call the Middle Ages the Dark Ages. And the reason they tell you that is because there was no knowledge. There was no culture in the land.
Famines. Yeah.
No. Remember, it's written from the perspective of the dominant culture.
Right.
The dominant culture today, for them, it was a dark age in those ways because they were in the caves. They were driven away because of the rise of our people. Now, it wasn't all in righteousness, the rise of our people. It wasn't like we were keeping a, a pure keeping the commandment empire, but our people were in rulership. And the real reason they call it the Dark Ages was not just that it was a dark time for them, but that, in their words, the darkies were ruling.
Right. And you know how you know we weren't righteous? Because we lost that crown.
Right. Right. We lost that crown. That wasn't a kingdom in righteousness.
We were ruling the earth like we were supposed to.
Right.
We lost it because we went off into sin.
Right. So they call it the middle of the Dark Ages.
Yep.
And in coming out of that, Spain reclaimed their land by conquering the Israelites that were there. This type of information is basically the Reconquista goes great with what Bishop was bringing out about the Ladinos and how Spain treated them and stuff like that. And it says, and as it was applied on a much larger scale during the Spanish colonization of the Americas, and that's something that, again, if it be the Lord's will, we got
to
dive deeper into
absolutely,
as
absolutely.
Well. And it says, in the Spanish Philippines.
That's important. Right
because,
there.
Yes, there's a remnant of our people in the Philippines. There's a large remnant of Issachar there, as well as some of the other northern tribes. Actually, it's really all tribes. Let me tell you, when the Most High says he scattered us,
man.
The complexities of that scattering. It takes a supreme power that our thoughts are not his thoughts to make sure that he saved us everywhere, right? He put us everywhere. That's another reason they can't take us down. Because if we were all in just one spot, they would just nuke us and be done with it.
That's true, right? Yeah,
but we can't
right.
do it. But
right.
they can't do it, you know? So it says, conquered peoples were considered vassals of the Spanish monarch. The crown awarded an encomienda as a grant to a particular individual. In the conquest era of the 16th century, the grants were considered to be a monopoly on the labor of particular groups of indigenous people.
So they funded our slavery.
Yes.
It's a grant.
Held in perpetuity, meaning it was forever. The encomienda was held in perpetuity by the grant holder, called the encomendero, and of his or her descendants. So they pass the slave rights down to their children.
So
we were the inheritance.
When
for
they say today, well, I didn't have you enslaved. You know what? Yes, you did, because whether directly or indirectly, you have benefited from our slavery.
Yes.
No two ways about it. No two ways about it, man. Don't give me that BS. And don't even get me started on the spiritual aspect of it.
Right.
All right.
We still got your last name.
Yeah, we still got their last names.
I don't believe.
Drop the mic on that one, man. Drop the mic.
Encomiendas evolved from their original Iberian form into a form of communal slavery. In the encomienda, the Spanish crown granted a person a specified number of natives from a specific community, but did not dictate which individuals in the community would have to provide their labor. Indigenous leaders were charged with mobilizing the assessed tribute and labor. That's that Lamentations 5, where we drink our water for wood and all that. It says, in turn, encomenderos were to ensure that the encomienda natives were given instruction in the Christian faith and Spanish language. So Spanish, right? Because you know how some of our, your Spanish must be impeccable and blah, blah, blah.
They laugh when you say it wrong.
Right, they laugh when they say it wrong, laughing at you. I know what that's like. you're not rolling your R right. You're not doing this. Listen, don't put too much stock in that, all right? I know we need to be able to communicate and speak in tongues, but this is why the scripture says with stammering lips in another tongue, meaning not every teacher was going to be perfectly fluent in our slave master's language, all right? It says, and protect them from warring tribes or pirates. See how they throw that in there, the protection money racket? But their real goal was protection from them, and their praying thing was that they were to be taught the Christian faith.
Hey, what are you doing?
He's trying to, trying to look for the pictures?
I don't know.
I have the switcher. I don't know if they taught you how to do it. We shouldn't have any interruptions on the screen if we have the switcher. It says, in turn, the Christian faith. It says they had to suppress rebellion against Spaniards and maintain infrastructure. In return, the natives would provide tributes in the form of metals, maize, pork, or other agricultural products. So again, I've been bringing this out. That's that Lamentations, all right, where it says we had to give them that stuff. And I'm going to explain this a little bit, and then I'm going to talk about the Codex a little bit before we wrap up. We got about 15 minutes left. That's why it's the power hour.
Yeah, man, bring a lot of stuff. Like you said, man, all power shots.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, yo, I'm just going to deal with one article, but.
No, you can't, man. Our history is too rich and too deep. You cannot. And it's been hidden from us too long, man.
Right. So let's get to the point. Lamentations 5, let's start at 4.
This is the book of Lamentations, chapter 5 and verse 4. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us.
Meaning we had to take all this stuff under this encomienda system and give it as tribute, right? Metals, precious metals in the mines, maíz, wheat, pork, right? That's corn, or other agricultural products, right? So our wood, our water, we had to bring it all to them. And then as part of this whole encomienda system, we learned this in PR, the wages were not the common currency of the time. Check out how they did us. So if, let's just say the dollar, because that's what people are familiar with now, right? It was whatever it was called then. So rather than get wages, right? And it was all just to, it's part of the psychology of to feel less enslaved. You don't need as much oversight. This is how you could have one boss and 50 slaves and him, they never attack him. You don't need as much oversight. You don't need as much chains and restrictions. When you feel like you're part of something. And they did that with the religion. They did that with the protection aspect. And what they did was they created a currency that was only good amongst the conquistadors. It was not a real currency. It really had no value. And what it really amounted to was a ration chip, is what you would say. So as we got all this infrastructure and sold our wood and our
like
water, right, and brought it to them, then they would give us a few of these little ration coins. I'm going to call them ration coins because I think that's the best way to explain it. I can't remember the exact term of what they told us in PR was the currency. And it was only acceptable in that encomienda or in that plantation.
So,
and what you would do is you would take those chips and now go back for the maize, wheat, metals that you labored for upon pain of death and have to take this coin and give it to them, and then they would give you a portion of it and say, oh, well, this is worth this much, so
yeah.
here's this much wheat, here's this much that.
It was a store credit card.
Yeah.
That you can only use it. That's why
right.
I said finger
store credit. It was store credit.
That's all it
right.
was.
Right, yeah, like finger hut.
Yeah. You can't use that card
anywhere else. You
can't
use it anywhere else.
You can't
use it, can't use it anywhere else.
And they charge you astronomical prices, too.
Yes. Yes.
That's a person right there.
Yep. I'm going to jump for the sake of time, and I want to talk about the codex. Let's talk about the codex real. And again, we're only going to be able to touch on it briefly. I thought my thing was charging. I don't want my laptop to die. Say something.
So, again, man, there is so much information on our history. This rabbit hole goes deep, brothers and sisters. Super deep, okay?
Right. Yeah, it does. It does. It goes super deep. So it says the Codex Kingsborough. So it's also known as the Codex Tepetalozotoc.
Yeah, you got him by the hair, man.
Is a 16th century Mesoamerican pictorial manuscript detailing the history of Tepetalozotoc. How do you say that? It doesn't say the pronunciation.
Go ahead, man. We got enough time.
Tepetalozotoc. And the abuse of the encomenderos who took control after the Spanish conquest of Mexico. And but mind you, the encomenderas were everywhere. All right, but they started to originate there. It said it is currently in the collection of the British Museum, meaning none of us can ever find it except for the internet.
Or the Library of Congress.
Or the Library of Congress.
And, or the Smithsonian.
And look at how little they have on it. The significance of it is heavy. It says the manuscript was commissioned after the Spanish colonization of the Americas had begun by the inhabitants of Tipi, I'm just going to call it Tipi, and its indigenous governor, Luis de Tepala. It was part of a lawsuit brought by Tipi inhabitants against the Spanish encomenderos. So they tried to go by their system. So you had them, and they said, listen, these guys ain't going by our systems, right? Remember, they were teaching them Spanish language, religion. So they said, we're going to bring a lawsuit. We're going to use their thing against them, right? Because they're saying we're vassals of the Spanish crown. So that means that there has to be, we're going to try to basically play some rights into this. Mm. Much like we do today when we try to go to their courts for justice and things like that.
Yeah.
And it says, and it was complaining about the mistreatment of the indigenous population and was probably presented to the Council of the Indies. And the Council of the Indies was like the first form of the United Nations back then, where it was called the Royal Supreme Council. And It was an administrative organ of the Spanish Empire for the Americas and the Philippines. So it says it consisted of 72 leaves on European paper, six of which are blank. It was made circa the 1550s and at some point came into the possession of the antiquarian and scholar of Mesoamerica, Edward King, Viscount Kingsborough, after whom the codex is commonly known. It was sold after his death, being bought by a bookseller named Rod in 1843 and later acquired by the British Museum. So now, did you get some images for me of the codex? Because you see that picture right there, right? See how he's grabbing him by the hair? He's all bloody, right? It depicts different abuses. Go to the one up, right there. Yep, go to that one. Make that one bigger on the right. This is a wider shot. So basically, in absence of camera phone footage and police surveillance video,
damn,
they drew this.
They threw homeboy on the floor
to try to depict
with a busted mouth,
the atrocities. Bro. So notice, we had clothing. You see the robes that we had on us? They try to say we were savages. They would strip us naked. Look, this guy's mouth is busted open. I'm not sure what the little head means above it. I don't know if that means, you see how he's like, it looks like a little animal thing there.
Yeah, it could be thinking, it could be thoughts.
Right. Look at how he's manhandling him there. Go back. Let's see what else they got. I would like to see if they have a reproduction of this. Left, that one. Down, that one. Yep. Make it bigger. And this was bought. They bought this in the Court of the Indies. They didn't win. obviously. Is that as big as you can make it?
Anybody said, no, you drew this.
Right.
You guys drew this.
Again, this is all accounts of the type of stuff that we went through. So look, that's the forced labor. They're showing you the slavery, the how we had to carry their stuff.
Hey, a picture's right? worth a thousand words.
You
man.
See the
you
ship?
Look at this stuff, man.
Do you see the ship? The way they drew the ship there with the sail, right? Going into captivity, they're showing you the abuses of the labor. So they would strip us down. We had to work in loincloths. That wasn't our custom, right? And that, see, that's us paying tribute. You see them walking towards him, like what we just read, to pay tribute, right? This is all the stuff, the different, that represents like the different values of things.
They had us working in a loincloth just like in Egypt.
Yes.
Because the same hieroglyphics and everything show us.
Yes. Go back and see what other images we got of that. See what else they got. What's that one on the left? Down. What does that show? I didn't get to look at all of them.
Probably where they landed.
Yeah.
They took
open it up more. I would love to get a thing that tries to describe it. I gotta see if there's one available.
I'm sure you can find it.
See if you can make that bigger. That's probably showing them. Yeah. Oh, those are the routes, the land that they took, probably.
Yeah. Well, that was all land that they took.
Yep. Yeah. Go back. Let's see if there's anything else. But I'll scroll up because I think there was more.
What's that one on the lower right? That one there.
That one.
You know, hearing you talk about this, Captain, made me think about the brothers not tomorrow. Let's go vote. The system is not for you. They don't.
No, not at all.
Nope.
I'm trying to see. I would need something that tries to.
I'm sure there's plenty of meaning.
That looks like family, maybe. Their family tree and maybe them taking them away. I'm assuming.
So who are they saying drew these things?
The natives.
Oh, we drew this.
Yeah, we drew it to bring evidence of the atrocities that they were doing.
That's what they said. They were like, nah.
Yeah. Look, I don't know if that's agriculture above it or that was the names of their kids. That might very well be the names of families that their kids were taken from them.
So I'm thinking the lines leaving their head and the images, their thoughts.
Maybe.
Because I think the other one was a skeleton, so that guy was dead.
Maybe.
That's what I'm thinking.
Go back.
I mean, we're over here just, this is all conjecture.
We're almost done. Go back. Wait,
so
what's that?
Left.
The one where your finger was just there. Go up first. Go to that. Over to the right. What's that?
Oh, wait. It looks like a hole.
Yeah, make that bigger.
Oh,
look at him with the chain. Look at the chain. And the dog sicking him on him. See that? Look, he has the dog on the chain attacking him.
You can't
look
even
at
go
that.
Nowhere, man.
He put the dogs on him. Right to his throat.
Damn.
Scroll up. Look, burning them. Lighting them on fire at the stake. Burned at the stake.
Bartolomé de las Casas. Those bags mean something, man.
I think it's them bringing the stuff to them.
Tribute,
yeah, the tribute. Mm-hmm. The tribute that they had to pay. There's a lot. There's, remember, I said it's like 70 something pages.
Yo, this is crazy, man. Mm-hmm. And they were pretty good artists considering the stuff they had back then.
Well, they drew them damn Spaniards real
they
good.
They drew them real good, man. That's for sure. That's exactly how they wore, too. And they didn't take those clothes off for like a long time, man.
Nope. No, yeah, I think we read about that. Yeah. Remember, the Indians had to teach them how to wash.
And those things were heavy. That's pure wool, man.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in the Caribbean with all them hot-ass clothes.
Yeah, and that's not merino wool and stuff. That's like heavy, coarse.
Yeah, yeah. Wool. That's not dry fit.
Yeah, that's not moisture-wicking material.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Wednesday, we'll go deeper into all this, all right? If it be the Lord's will, we're going to touch, we'll read more about the encomiendas and more about this codex. I'm going to try to look for it.
Dude, I know it has to be out there somewhere, man. Definitely in the Library of Congress. Maybe go there, libraryofcongress.org.
Maybe.
Don't put it there because they know.
No, you know, I've been finding there's some resources where they'll reprint old books. So they might not have them, but they have the files somehow, and they'll reprint them. India do everything. You know, you go to India to get that. I got some of the books that I thought was going over. And I got them reprinted from it. Bro, they put it with the leather thing, makes it look old and antiquated and everything. Yeah.
Okay.
I got a couple of them from there.
Go, Elon.
And I'll be bringing those out on the show, right? Because I know Deacon brought his stuff out. We're going to bring it out to talk about it as well.
Yeah, stay tuned, man. Lord willing, life lasts, man. We got a plethora of information for it.
Yep. So if it be the Lord's will, we'll go into this a little deeper.
Yeah, Wednesday.
On Wednesday show. All right. We appreciate the support. Continue to like and share. Subscribing is important, all right?
Subscribing, commenting, and please share. Share. I'm sure a lot of your brothers and sisters have people on your Facebook that this could be the very thing that makes them repent.
Yeah. You never know.
Just weird. Just how it is, man. You know, I mean, the Bible is the number one true book, but you know what? Sometimes you need that cross-reference, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyway, so happy Sabbath. All right. That's the show for this week. Lord's Will will be on Wednesday. All right. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom. Right. These things, they blow up your ears.
It's hot, right?
It's more water.